Well, why don't we just stand one more time quickly, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to dive right into the Word of God today. All right, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, speak to my heart, change my life in Jesus' name, and help this preacher up there to get it right. Amen. You may be seated. Good. God is good, isn't he? Well, last few weeks, we've been talking about culture. On January 24th, I spoke, and the title of my message was, We're All About People. On February 7th, I spoke about the culture of worship. And it's important because what I'm trying to do is outline the specific culture or DNA of this local church. Amen? And so we spoke about being all about people. Now we're talking about the culture of worship. Well, that was last week. And this week, we're talking about the culture of serving. So it's basically part two of We're All About People. And so I want to say this here is I'm not preaching to a problem. What I'm trying to do is encourage the church to hold fast in that which we already understand, okay? I think that this is our church here. We have a 70% volunteer rate, which puts us at the higher end of, it's really amazing because most churches have 10% of people doing, all the work, right? So we have a good group of volunteers. So I'm not preaching at a problem. I'm just trying to maintain a standard, a culture that we have, okay? And so what I'd like to do is just do a quick review about we're all about people. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, if we can bring that up. Peter is speaking here. And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All right? And so God's heart is that all would come to repentance, because God's all about people. See, God cares about people. When he took his disciples, he didn't say to them, listen, I want you guys to just hang out and pray and worship me. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all people. Didn't he not say that? And so 2/3 of the name God is go. So 2/3 of our ministry for God should be going into the highways and byways, going into the lives of other people to bless and minister and make disciples. Isn't that clear? And so as we're looking at this, we see that God's heart is all about people. How many parents have ever had to be long-suffering with a teenager? Let's see your hands. No. Yeah. We have to be long-suffering with our children, and the reason why we do that is because there's a seed of greatness in them, and we've seen God moving in our children, and they grow up, and they do stupid things, and then we're long-suffering, and we hold on, and we pray, and because we know that God has got a purpose for them, and it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. There's people around us that do stupid things. How many know that? And you say, are you sure, God, they're one of your kids? I mean, you're not, because that's really stupid, you know. No one's ever said that. Maybe you're more spiritual than me. But you wonder why people do silly things. And you say, how can God love that person? But God does. And he's long-suffering. He says, you know what, just wait a while. I'm just going to rub a few rough edges off that person, and they're going to be perfect. Amen? And so God is longing for people to come to repentance. I began to talk about a few weeks ago how as I began to seek God, God started to speak to me about going out and ministering to others. And it'll be the same with you. As you get to know God, you'll find out that as you're seeking his glory, he's going to send you on assignment to minister and to bless somebody else because he doesn't think about himself. He's always thinking about others. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to hang out? No, to go and preach the gospel. Amen? To set at liberty those who are captive, to do the work of God, to make somebody's life better, to help somebody see Christ, all right? And so when you begin to know and love somebody, you start to care about what they care about. And that's how we know that we love God, because we love the brethren. Amen? Someone who's nasty and mean and stands on the street sign and they go online and they beat up everybody that doesn't believe exactly, and they call themselves Christians, beat up everybody who doesn't believe exactly the way they do theologically, that they don't know the love of the brethren. Amen? If we love God, we'll love people. How can you say you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your brethren? Scripture is very clear. All right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 3, verse 23 says this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what? Love one another, as he gave us commandment. All right? And so God wants us to love, which is a verb, and that actual word love is agapeo. It's not agape love, which is the love of God. It's agapeo. Okay, that's a different type of love, and it actually means to love in a social or a moral sense. See, God wants us to socialize and intermingle with one another and to take care of one another, because when in doing that, we see Christ. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And it's like when we get around each other, we can challenge and encourage and see things about our lives that we wouldn't see if we were alone. We don't see the blind spots. How many know what I'm talking about? And a true friend will show you a blind spot in your life, because they care. How many ever had a friend that would just kind of say, point them out and say, you do this, and it's, why do you do that? Has anyone had that situation? You're like, how dare you? Like, you noticed? Nobody else noticed. No, everybody noticed, but nobody cares about you enough to tell you. But I care, and I'm going to tell you. That's what it means. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what true friends will do. They'll help you see the areas where you need to grow and improve and change so that you can become more like Christ, so you can be more effective, and you can reach your destiny. That's what true love does. So last week we talked about six reasons why we should serve God's people. I'm just going to run through a few of them, and then we're going to touch on a couple points. Number one, to ensure the Lord's blessings. You can look these up on your own. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. If we want to ensure the Lord's blessing on our life, we need to be thinking of others. Number two, to offer up my spiritual gifts and service to God. That's 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. Number three, to fulfill the whole law. Galatians 5, 13 to 14. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we fulfill the laws of God. Right? Number four, because Jesus set us the example in John chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. And number five, because I will reap spiritual nourishment from it. All right? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says that if you water someone else, you yourself will be watered. It is like a sowing and reaping thing that happens, right? And number six is to increase in boldness of faith. So what I want to do this morning is just bring you on a bit of a journey. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. It says here, and this is a parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus talks about how the farmer goes out with the seeds and he casts the seeds, okay? He broadcasts the seeds as far as he can. Like today when we sow seed, farmers have the machinery and they come and they make the thing and the seed is dropped exactly. But in these days, it wasn't done that way. It was just casted out. And where the seed fell was where it would grow. All right? And so Jesus is talking about different types of soils. He's talking about the good soil. He's talking about the soil that represents the pathway. He talks about the soil that represents the ground with a little bit of rocks underneath. And then he talks about the thorny soil. Okay, so those are the four soils. So I just want to touch on one of the things Jesus said. When he's explaining the parable, he says, but he who received the seeds on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. All right? And so what this is telling you is that sometimes people are wounded in their soul. Maybe they have no root or no confidence within themselves, so they just feel like they can't accomplish anything. They have nobody. These people have no self-confidence. Maybe some of you have been there. and you come into the church and you accept the word of God. But we see what happens with these type of people is that as soon as they are persecuted for the name of Christ, immediately they stumble because they say, man, I can't deal with rejection. I've been hurt too many times. So immediately, oh, you're a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. No. Immediately they stumble because there's a root of woundedness in their own souls. Some people are going to come through these doors. Many are going to come through these doors that are wounded. As something as simple as a smile, something as simple as saying, you know what? God loves you. You know, we think sometimes, I don't really want to engage that person because, you know, I don't know what I'll say. Why don't you smile and say, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the Crossroads Church. When you're out in the streets or you're out at workplace and you meet people, take a moment to give them a smile and say, hey, God loves you, whatever. Because people need to feel the love of God in their life. Amen? The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and the love of God is shed abroad in our lives. Genuine compassion is birthed. Why? Because Jesus had compassion, has compassion. The Bible says he healed all who came to him. Why? Because he had compassion for them. And that same compassion is birthed into our hearts when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, and that compassion is birthed. And I want to say this, the love of God in biblical teaching can actually transform and take those stones out so that people are no longer looking for validation from men. If you're wounded and you can't deal with rejection, what happens is we begin to look for validation from people. Every person on this planet has a need for validation to say, hey, you're worth something. You have a purpose. How many know what I'm talking about? Everybody has a need for that. And so when you come and you experience the love of God and the presence of God, which is poured upon your heart, you're validated by the Father. Isn't that awesome? And so you no longer do you need the validation of men because you've found the validation of the Father, right? And he becomes your daddy. And it's kind of like now you don't really need validation from other people. And that's why it's important to have revival, because God's Spirit brings freedom. God's Spirit brings validation in the church. Isn't that good? And so as we begin to worship, as we begin to press into God, as we begin to seek the Lord, God wants to take out of that our hearts the need for the validation of men, and only to focus on the fact that God validates us, and then we need to spread that to others. That's what God's called us to do. We need validation from God, amen? We look at this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. It says this, and whatever you do, okay, Colossians chapter 3, Josiah, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to who? To man. Knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve who? Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're being told here, don't worry about what man does. Everything we do as unto the Lord. Why? Because we get our validation. We get everything from the Father. Amen? And so as we are validated by the Lord, the natural outflow of that is that we're going to serve him with our whole hearts. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. All right? So we need to work with enthusiasm. We're not working for people. We're working for God. When you serve the Lord in church, you're not serving man. You're serving the Lord. Amen? When you go up and work in the kids' ministry, or you stand on this worship team, or you emcee the service, kind of like Chris was doing this morning, or you're doing the offering, or you're greeting at the door, or you're in the cafe, or you're just here being you and loving on people, and not necessarily in a role, but just here, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're not doing this for the church. Do we get that? As you do that, you are going to receive a reward, because God is all about people. God cares about people. And so we want to see revival, and we want to see the church grow. How many want to see that? But I'll say this. You know, a lot of churches that focus on church growth never grow. But the churches that focus on getting healthy and loving one another and doing things God's way, they grow. I don't care if we don't grow. I'd rather let's just do things God's way. Let's love one another. Let's serve one another. Let's just have a genuine atmosphere where people come in and they say, people really genuinely care about me. And I'll tell you what, the church will blow up. You hear me? The church will blow up. People will get saved. We wouldn't be able to have enough room here. We'd have to have 7 services on a Sunday. Why? Because people are looking for the validation of God, and how they see it is through us. When we validate them and say, hey, God loves you, God cares for you, come on in as you are, come to the cross as you are, we're not going to judge you, come to the Lord, and we love them, guess what? They are validated by the presence of God, and they say, surely God is among the people at the crossroads. Isn't that good? I think it's interesting to say this. Paul prays a prayer for the church of Ephesus. I want to read this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Let's go there. All right. I'm going to get Camilla to come up here and read this for me.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Thank you. So what Paul is doing is he's praying. He says, hey, listen, I want you guys to have deeper insight into the things of God. Okay, he's not talking to a bunch of people that just got saved. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. They're rich in spiritual gifts. They're not like the Corinthian church. You read the Corinthian church, and you say, man, are these guys even Christians? There's so many issues. But the Ephesians church, the church of Ephesus, is rich in spiritual gifts. It's where we get all our content about who we are in Christ, right? And so he's talking to these people, and he says, listen, I'm praying that the God, our Father, will open your eyes in a deeper dimension. So why are you saying that, Pastor? I'm saying that because as Christians, we think sometimes that if we study the Word of God more, if we sit and watch Joyce Myers for 3 hours or whatever, I want more input, that we're going to grow. And how many know that we only grow when the Spirit and the Word agree? So Paul is saying, listen, there's something that can happen when that your eyes will be opened and you can grow in a deeper way and a deeper way of understanding. And I want that to happen because it's happened to me. So we can go to a new level. Say we can go to a new level. But what stirred this prayer on, we see here, in actually verse 15, the reason why he's praying is because he says, I've heard of your faith in Christ, and I've heard of the agape love that you have for all the saints. He's saying basically, because I heard that you guys love Christ, but not only that, that you love the saints the way God does, I want to pray for you because I want you to have deeper insight. He says, finally, a church has got it together. You guys finally understand that when you love God and you know Christ and you love the saints and minister to the saints, that word means minister to the saints, there's deeper revelation that's coming. Okay? And I think that we need to understand that if we are great commissional people, I believe that heaven's blessings begin to open up. And we begin to see things in a different way. How many, are you getting what I'm saying this morning? All right? I believe that if we're great commissional and we're not just focused on ourselves, God opens our understanding in a deeper dimension. All right? When Jesus is commissioning the disciples after his resurrection, look what he says here to his disciples. And we'll look at this in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. He met with his disciples and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The verses just after that, he says, now I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel to all the world. But he says, oh, first I got to open your eyes so you understand the scriptures. And I think that as a people, if we're focused on ministering to others, God opens our understanding in a deeper dimension. How many would agree with that? All right. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus says, he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. So say number one, go make students of God. We'll try that again. That was kind of lame. Number one, go make students of God. Okay. Number two, baptize them. And number three, teach them to observe what God commands. That's a great commission. And you know what? A lot of people have the excuse, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not asking you to go tap someone on the shoulder. I'm saying as they're coming in, you got to help them to understand by your example how to be a student. Isn't that good? And I say this because I believe that if we are not focused on being commissional about reaching out and looking to others and blessing others, we can begin to develop what I would call a leanness of soul. How many have ever heard that term before? Okay? And I really believe that a leanness of soul can take place in our life when we only focus on what God can do for us. And please get me right when I say this, that I believe there's seasons. I think that there's a season sometimes we come into where we do have to focus on our own healing. That's our healing season. But then there's a second season, which is called the serving season. And you know what? If you try to stay in the healing season too long, you're going to find that God's trying to move you into the serving season. And you're like, no, I just want to grow. I want to learn more. But I don't really want to serve. I just kind of want to focus on, you know, and you might not say that, but it's happening at a subconscious level. You're just focusing on what you can get for yourself from God. I believe what happens is you miss the transition season and you move into a place of leanness of soul where you stop growing. Amen? You know, when we started Impact Church, I remember Cameron and Sandra and the leadership team, we got together. And we had this big vision. We want to serve people. We want to reach people. But we don't want people just coming from other churches. So we're going to keep our messages really simple, like salvation, just basic stuff. So we wouldn't get all the people coming in that are like, feed me, I want more, I want more, I want more. We didn't want that. We wanted people who would serve. So we kept our messages really simple. The amazing thing that happened as the first couple months went by is that all of us, there's about 25 of us that were serving, we were getting so much. You know, like pastor would preach a simple message, and I'd be sitting there going, that was awesome, man. And people were coming up to me and saying, the messages at this church are like really shallow. They're not deep. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I got great revelation. And I'd be talking about like this revelation I got, and they'd be going, what are you talking about, man? I didn't get anything out of that. I'm going somewhere else. Great, bye. But you see, there was a group of us that had a heart to serve, and God was opening us up to the revelation of what God was saying at that moment. But the people that had a focus on just feed me, weren't getting anything from God because their focus was selfish focused instead of focusing on others. Does that make sense to anybody here? And I believe that there can be a leanness of soul if we don't learn to transition from the season of healing to the season of serving. Some of you in this place, you're still in a season of healing, and that's okay. That's great. But some of you, God is calling to another realm, into commissional realm. Psalms chapter 106, verse 13 to 15. Let's read that together. This is speaking about the children of Israel who left Egypt with Moses, and they were worshiping God. They were thanking God for his deliverance. But then look what happens in verse 13, Josiah. Verse 13 of Psalm 106. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in their hearts. And he gave them the request and sent leanness into their souls. Because they began to focus on, you know, what's in it for me? I'm tired of this manna. I'm tired of this stuff. I want meat. Give me meat, God. And God says, okay, fine, you can have meat here. And he sent all the quail. How many remember the story? And they ate and they had their fill, but a plague came among them and they had leanness of soul. I'm here to tell you, you can get to a place where you can study the Bible 12 hours a day and not get anything out of it and wonder what's wrong and be dead and dry as a doornail. You don't believe me? Go to most seminaries. People who study the Word of God and you sit and talk to them and you fall asleep because they have no passion or no revelation of God's love. Amen? And so I've learned that if we learn to transition the seasons, okay, this is my time of healing. now it's my turn, time to serve. And sometimes you're kind of in both. You're getting healed and you're serving at the same time. But you're focusing not just on what you can get from God, but what you can give of God. Amen? And so what happens is God is moving us into a place of serving. God is moving us into a place, a people who are saying, hey, listen, it's not all about me. It's about other people. And you know what? When you take care of other people's needs, when you focus on other people, God focuses on you. When you just focus on yourself, God will bless you. You know, he'll minister to you. But there's this whole thing about sowing and reaping. I want to receive blessings, so I'm going to bless somebody else. And God, you know, man, I could preach on this for, I got 12 pages here. I'm only on page 6, but we're out of time. I got to read this. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2. Go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2. Those of you who are here in January, we actually talked about fasting that pleases God. How many remember that? Okay. Because I want to show you, I want you to see that this is clear from Scripture, okay? And I know we did this before, but God will not allow me to leave Isaiah chapter 58. There's so much stuff there, okay? And I'm going to read through it here. Isaiah chapter 58. This is the state of Israel. Yet they act pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me, okay? They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the law of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, okay? Pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? Okay? Now, this is interesting because I don't know which translation that is. It's probably the New Living. But in the King James, it actually says, they seek me daily. So they're constantly seeking God. Number two, they delight to know the ways of God. Number three, they did not forsake the ordinances of God. Number four, they asked God for justice. And number five, they delighted in approaching God. Man, that sounds like a good church. If you went down to the temple in Jerusalem, you would have been like, these guys are on fire, man. They're worshiping, they're praying, they're asking God for stuff, right? But God saw it differently, all right? What he saw was something much different. If we go on to read in Isaiah chapter, we won't read it, but I'm going to give you what happened here. Basically, God was not paying attention to them, and this is why. Number one, they were focused on their own leisure. They were focused on their own leisure. A pastor friend of mine in Toronto brought in a big wig speaker. I'm not going to say his name, but somebody, TV guy, brought him into Toronto for a two-day conference. And he left them a $20,000 bill because this minister had to have first-class airplane, first-class meals, first-class hotel. And they brought him into a, 200 people had to take care of this guy coming in. And to me, it's like, it's not about us. As ministers of the gospel, we're here to serve the flock of God. We're not here to take money and have big ministries and drive big cars. And that's a whole other sermon. I'm not going there right now. But it's not about our leisure. It's not about our pleasure. All right, they were focused on their own leisure. Number two, they drove hard their laborers. How many know we need Mary moments as well as Martha moments? You know, and the children of Israel were driving hard their laborers. You got to work more. You got to work more. And God is saying, no, they need to have a Sabbath. They need to know me. That's why I appreciate my wife comes up here and says, you know what? We've had volunteers in the nursery say, hey, I'll serve 4 weeks in a row. And I said, no, go and sit and receive the word of God. God will call somebody else. We're not worried about it. But you're not going to sit up here week after week because you need a Mary moment, Martha. Amen? And so we want people to understand that we don't want to drive laborers. We want people to flow out of the relationship they have with God. And number three, God said, you strike with the fist of wickedness. And so you have this, you're aggressive and you're hard and you have a wicked spirit. Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 55, it says this. And he sent his messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive Jesus because his face was set to journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't even know what manner of spirit you're of. James and John were basically like, yeah, they're not accepting us. So let's call down fire. And Jesus is not about us. It's about God's will. Amen? And so we have to have a gentle, loving spirit when we're reaching to people. Say, hey, God loves you. Yes, there's judgment. Yes, but you need to come to the cross. You got to come. There has to be compassion in our voice. We can't come across judgmental because you know what? Each and every one of us are sinners saved by grace. None of us have measured up. And too quickly we forget where we came from. And we talk down to people. And that's why I love the Apostle Paul, because he used to say, you know what? Listen, I'm the chief of sinners. So he would talk to sinners. He'd say, listen, you're a sinner, but you know what? I'm worse than you because I did this, this, and this, and this, and God was able to save me. Suddenly it's not a condescending, you know, I'm better than you. It's serving. Amen? Makes evangelism really easy. I've learned that. And so God is speaking to them, and he's saying, you have to deal with these errors in your life. You're striking with the fist of wickedness. And he said, the last one, he says, you are trying to make your voice heard on high. Basically, the only reason you want people to recognize you is because you're looking for validation from men. And he was saying, no. Have validation from the Father, from me. All right? And so, as we read on in verse, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10 to 11, we'll read this and then we're going to close. 10 to 11. Isaiah 58, 10 to 11, Josiah. If you extend your soul to the hungry, okay, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday, and the Lord will guide you continue, and here's the key, and satisfy your soul in drought. He'll satisfy your soul in drought. There'll be no leanness of soul. A watered garden. You like that one, right? I mean, you know what? I'm going to give you guys an assignment. Our group this week, I want each and every one of you, those of you who are coming to our group, go home and study Isaiah chapter 58, and you come with what God showed you from that. It might just be a verse. It might be a, and we're going to open that up. Because Isaiah chapter 58 is full of stuff. And the content is really about fasting, but it's deeper than that. So I want you to do that this week. That's going to be your assignment. Go home tonight, begin to study that, and come. We want to hear what God is showing you from that verse, okay? And so God wants us to move. God wants us to serve. And I'm going to have to continue this message later because it goes a little deeper. But as we serve God, I believe as we focus on others, God opens our spirit so we can see things differently and have deeper revelation. Amen? And I'll close with this. You know, I was in a season where I was praying and fasting and studying the scripture because I felt like God's presence was far from me. And I didn't know why. The Lord had been talking to me about ministering to a few people at work and talking to them, and I was putting it off. And so God was putting me off, because I was thinking about myself. But as soon as I opened up and was obedient, began to serve and began to reach out and show the love of Christ, all of a sudden it was like the windows of heaven opened, just like that. I can remember, it was just like the moment I approached this person, God told me to approach, and started talking to them about the Lord. It was like the windows of heaven opened, the scripture opened, the presence of God came down. And I mean, I was praying and fasting for like 2 months, not continually, but on and off, trying to get that place that, like, where's your presence, God? You know, I'm in a dark season of the soul, and I was into all this weird stuff. And then I realized that it was because I was just not listening to God. I was thinking about myself, and I wasn't thinking about others. And so I believe in closing here that one of the cultures of this church is that we're going to be a people who serve out of the overflow of God's love. Amen? Not to receive validation, or not because the pastor needs me to serve. Not because of that. No. Out of an overflow of the validation and presence of God in your life, I'm going to serve others. And you know what happens? If you need the validation of men, you burn out. If you have the validation of God's presence, you don't burn out. Isn't that true, Clara? You've been in ministry for how many years? 30. There you go. Have you burnt out yet? There you go. So why don't we stand and we're going to close the service in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just play something on the piano, Clara? That'd be great. Well, Father, we just come before you right now. If you're in this place and you just say, I just want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord to turn my focus not only inward, because we do have to think about ourselves. It's not that we ignore ourselves. Not just my own needs, but the needs of others. Just raise your hands and I'm going to just pray a general prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for every person in this place, God. And I thank you, Father, that you have called us to serve. Your word says that they will know us because of our love for one another, not because of our miracles, not because of the things you do, but because there's a genuine love and concern that flows from the heart of the Father. So, Father, I pray for every person in this place, Lord. I know as a church, we kind of have a reputation of being servants. Like, we got a good church of serving people. But, Lord, we don't want to lose that value. We want to see it increase. We want to have a reputation that, hey, these are people that they don't just go to church to receive. They go to church to serve one another. Father, so much of this service even happens after I shut this mic off. Father, as we go into the cafe and God just speaks words of encouragement to one another through each of us. Father, I just pray, God, that we would get a revelation that we're here to serve you through serving others. God, open our eyes to see the needs that are right in front of us, Father. We set our heart and our affection on you and on your people. And in doing so, Father, you open the eyes of our understanding that we might see and know the love of God that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship with him, I want to challenge you to say this prayer with me today. You know what I'm saying, that you need to have a relationship with Jesus. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to cleanse you. But you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. The Bible says you will be saved. And so I'm going to pray that prayer if everyone wants to join with me. And if you say it for the first time and you mean it, I want you to find me after the service in the cafe and say, I prayed that prayer and I've meant it and I've given my life to Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. Send your Spirit to live in me. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We worship you, God. God is good all the time. If you have any prayer needs, you just want prayer for ministry, for anything, I'd like you to come forward. Chris, I'd like you to come pray. And Neil and Marg, would you come up, please? And so, come on up. Roger, would you come up? Some of you, you just need some prayer. I just felt these four are just going to minister here. If you just need prayer for healing, you just want to know Jesus in a deeper way, you want to know his presence deeper, whatever it is, whatever your need is, come and receive today, okay? Okay.